Thought Bubble Audio.
Oh, we're drinking. We're taking Scottish, Irish.
Yeah.
Scottish Stout. Oh, good. See, this is where it comes from.
Yeah.
This is where it comes from.
Okay.
Okay.
Look, up in the sky.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two guys geek out with beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And today, Tim and Frank are drinking...
Innis and Gunn. It's our... My favorite beer that is aged in bourbon barrels and whiskey barrels. This is their Irish whiskey aged Scottish stout.
Scottish stout,
and it's a delicious beer.
Yeah,
it goes down very smooth.
It's gorgeous.
It has those like oak notes that you get from a bourbon, from a whiskey, and it is so good.
It is, yeah.
It's so good.
I almost picked this up on a whim just because it was a seasonal edition. And I was like, I like whiskey. I like stout.
Exactly. Yeah. So good. I've had it a couple times. I haven't had this particular variety. So I'm glad you picked this up. This was a treat, a real treat.
Oh, well, you're very welcome.
Thanks. So we are really excited to be talking about Daredevil.
Yeah.
Tonight.
So excited.
So just a warning before we get into this, there will be spoilers.
Daredevil spoilers.
So as this episode gets released, Daredevil came out on Netflix a week ago of the day of this release, not of a recording, but of the release. And
April 10th was the day it was released.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And so we've watched the whole series. And we'll be talking about it.
In Tim's case, he's already started his rewatch of the series. Yeah.
All right. Show off. I've watched it once through. Just the once. So Tim will undoubtedly correct me for things that I missed.
I only rewatched the first episode. At the time of this recording, I've actually only rewatched the first episode.
Fair enough. But yeah. So let's get your initial reaction. This will probably be a two-parter, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we'll see how long we gush or stab or cry or scream or running out of things to do.
By art.
I knew after the first episode that it was going to be awesome.
Mm.
I just knew it was going to be it was going to be fantastic. I'm going to sound really hipster right now. I loved Daredevil before he was cool. Like, if you turn to your upper right, you're going to see an issue of Daredevil framed.
That's true. You've had that for a long time.
Yes, I've had it for a long time. It is the... Well, spoilers for things that happened in comics 30 years ago. Where Daredevil's lover, Elektra, gets stabbed by his arch nemesis, Bullseye, and she dies. Sadness. But she comes back like 7 times, so it doesn't matter. But that first time, that death meant something.
That meant something.
Yeah, those other 6 deaths didn't mean anything.
Those were meaningless, but the first one is what matters.
That's right.
That's interesting. So you liked the first from the start. You were on board from the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I loved Daredevil. Daredevil was always kind of like this weird, like mythical hero that like never had his own show. When I was growing up, he never had his own show.
Right.
Sometimes the mythical part, he sometimes guest starred in other Marvel cartoons.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. There was a Fantastic Four cartoon out for, I think it was just 2 seasons in the 90s. The first season of that show was like super light and campy and whatever else. Okay. And it didn't do so well. So they revamped it, and the second season became a little darker and a little bit more mature. They tried shading characters differently, whatever else, because there was an Iron Man cartoon at the time and a Hulk cartoon.
Yes.
They were doing the same thing. So they tried to kind of match that kind of that tone. Anyway, Daredevil guest starred in one of those episodes. which I think was the first time that I had ever seen the character ever.
Got it.
I was like, who's this man all in red? This is cool. And then I used to get, do you remember the 90s Spider-Man cartoon on Fox?
Yes, I did.
Yes, the show was great. I actually owned season one.
I think I knew that. Yeah.
It was super cheap. But he was on, I think it was going into season four. He was going to be on. And my brother and I used to get, Spider-Man magazines.
Oh.
Like for the, they're just kid magazines, but it was like interviews and pictures and the one that.
I don't remember that. That's cool.
I think I still have it somewhere in here. Yeah. And Daredevil, we picked it up and Daredevil was guest starring in a two-parter. And it was like, oh my goodness gracious, this is amazing. But I remember it came out. The issue came out in like maybe like May or June and Spider-Man wasn't coming back till September and October. And so it was like, oh, must wait. It was like the first fan. I remember the first, very first fandom thing I waited for, like was Daredevil. That was the first thing that I was super amped to be like, yes, Daredevil's coming.
It's happening.
It's happening. Don't tell me it's happening. I'm sorry. Don't tell me it didn't happen. So all of those feelings kind of go into this show. Which may be a fault, like maybe I'm not seeing flaws in the show because of that
nostalgia.
Yeah. I think there's a nostalgia factor for almost any superhero film we watch. Unless it's like Ghost Rider or something like that. But even Ghost Rider still had like, he guest starred in the Hulk and stuff like that. And so it was like, oh, Ghost Rider. Blah, blah, blah. So for Daredevil, I was going in on, yes, Daredevil, let's go. Let's do this. And at that time, I was also like, it's everything Marvel like churns out.
Yeah.
You know, on the big screen has been, you know,
pretty phenomenal. I mean,
yeah.
Pretty much across the board.
Yeah. And so this was, and being a Netflix show, that's always, you know, that's always a nice plug in your advantage core. And like all those things back and forth led me to be very excited about the show. So I went with high expectations to be sure. And then reviews started coming out and non-spoiler reviews were like, this is a really, really good show as a show.
Yep.
And then, so I binge watch 9 episodes on that Friday night. Mm-hmm. And then I watched the rest that Saturday morning into the afternoon. Cause I honestly, and this is where we're going to get in spoiler territory, I knew the red costume was coming at one point.
I did too.
And I didn't want to see it before the show.
Did you manage to not see it until they showed it in the show?
Sort of. I saw a tiny Netflix poster of what I thought. And I thought that too. And I at the time, I was like, that's not real. That's like because his mask kind of looked like the way his eyebrows were arched and everything. It actually kind of looked like the Deadpool mask half cut. You know, just the way his eyes were. If you just colored them almost a different red. And then you just, it looked doctored to me.
Okay. So I did end up seeing the red costume.
Right.
On a website somewhere, but. Or on Twitter, I think. But I was thinking about you because I knew you were saying you didn't want to see what it looked like until they revealed it in the show.
Right. It was really hot because it was like the last 15 minutes of the last episode of the show.
Well, the funny thing is on the Roku. So I watched it mostly on Netflix on my Roku. Mm-hmm. And that's like the when you go to like the Daredevil page.
Yeah.
Like with the list of all the episodes.
Oh, yeah.
There's a big giant banner and it's that picture of him in the red suit.
Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking like, oh, I know Tim's watching this on Apple TV. I hope it's not the same.
It's not. No, it was him.
Because I knew you were avoiding it.
It was him in the black suit looking out like a broken pane of glass.
Okay.
And now it's the red suit.
They changed it after
the weekend. They moved it to the red suit.
Interesting.
I think they like left it as the black suit for everybody who didn't want to see the suit. And after that, everyone was like, it doesn't. Yeah. That's what people want to see.
Or I wonder if it changes after you've watched it. Like, it's like now you've seen every episode, so boom, it changes.
That would be wicked.
That'd be really cool.
That would be cool if they did that. I'm sure that's not it.
I'm sure.
But yeah, that would be super awesome.
Like a reveal. So you liked it right from the start.
Right. Well, you remember months ago when we were talking about this show coming out, and I said, I'm going to be so pissed if it's him in the black suit, like Trial of the Incredible Hulk with like the half mask. And then the next day they released this image of him in the black suit. And I was like, son
damn it,
bitch.
Yes.
God,
yes.
I'm so mad.
I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah. I was so angry.
Yeah. Because we talked about it. I think, like, you texted me or I texted you. And I was like, oh, my God. The prophecy came true.
Yeah. I'm my own worst enemy. Like, yeah. It was the red suit. Then they heard me. I'm like, no. Put on a different costume.
Yeah.
But then when I knew the red suit was coming, and it's almost like I have enough faith in Marvel to not disappoint me.
Yeah.
In some way.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, so I knew it was coming eventually, but I thought it was going to be like episode 6, episode 7.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think it'd be the very end.
Oh, the very end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the very end. I was like looking online and was like, when does Daredevil get his red suit in the show? And then I would like put half my hand up on the screen to avoid any pictures.
Yeah.
I would just skim the articles and nobody said anything. And once he went to Melvin Potter and was like, you know, I need your help, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, it's coming somewhere in this range. Yeah. I'm good. Mm-hmm. And so I did technically manage to avoid it because until I saw it on the show, I was like, oh, I did see it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good because it's still a surprise. Yeah.
Right. So let's talk about the cast.
Okay.
I thought it was I thought everyone was really well cast for
their roles. Yeah. And I mean, as comic fans, we scrutinize.
Yeah.
It's what we do.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was like I cared the most about obviously who was going to be playing Matt Murdock and who's been playing Wilson Fisk.
Yeah.
And I thought both of those guys nailed it.
When they were cast, I remember going, awesome, I'm not worried.
Yeah.
This was great.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Cox is a good actor. I'd seen him in a couple of things before, most notably Stardust. I didn't really.
Okay.
And I know he's on Boardwalk Empire and stuff like that, but I never heard his American accent or anything like that because he is British.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he nailed it.
I read that today.
You didn't know?
I didn't know he's British.
Oh, yeah. When in doubt, go to Britain. Actors there are plenty.
Really.
Yeah.
Really.
And so I thought he got it. He has not reached the point in his career. It's almost like the Batman depression, I'm going to call it.
Yes.
Where it's like, I hate everybody.
Yeah. He's not like despairing.
Right.
Really? He's
certainly troubled by what he feels that he has to do,
right.
But he's not, unlikable.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed, yeah.
He is a very likable person.
Yes.
And I think that Foggy is a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Foggy Nelson is a big part of that likability for him. Cause without Foggy, he falls apart as a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he needs him to, kind of keep him grounded, keep him positive, keeping him like looking at the upside of things, sort of like he's like the whimsical, you know, like if it's a buddy cop movie, he's the funnier of the two. He's the comic relief.
Right.
Always got a quip.
Foggy was played by, Eldon Hansen,
mm-hmm.
who most people went, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who is this man?
Yeah,
he was in Mockingjay.
Oh, was
part
he?
One, yeah.
Oh.
Pollux. Okay. I don't know the names well enough. It's not my fandom. But everyone, even I was kind of like, who?
Yeah.
Question mark.
Yeah.
That was really I got to wait to see what you sound like.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you're replacing Jon Favreau, buddy. Arguably the best part of the Daredevil movie.
Yeah.
Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a good Foggy.
He was a good Foggy.
Okay. Let's get it out there now before we even get into further casting or anything like that. Let's talk about that Daredevil movie. Ben Affleck, 2003.
Mm-hmm.
I went in with the same.
God, was it that long ago?
I went in that movie with trepidation.
Yeah.
I went Colin Farrell with bullseye birthmark, whatever, on his forehead and an alligator skin coat.
Oh,
and
God.
All this stuff. My friend Jay hates that movie, but he hates it specifically because Daredevil has a giant zipper in the front of his costume. Like, because it's just a joke. And he's like,
yes,
just hide the zipper. Just do something with the zipper. Like,
make it functional at least.
Right. You're just wearing a jacket.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I hate many things about that movie.
Yeah.
It's a terrible movie.
I think that movie could have been, its cast was good. Ben Affleck's a good actor. He's talented. Jennifer Garner's good. Colin Farrell's good. Yeah. Michael Clark Duncan's good. Jon Favreau's good. Like, on paper, that really should have worked.
Yeah.
It's just a really bad script. And Mark Steven Johnson, the director, is just not is not caliber quality that we would hope for. Went on to direct Ghost Rider. Look what happened there.
I'm just seeing a pattern.
Indeed. To compare them is almost apples and oranges because, like,
they're
yesterday,
so different.
It would be like walking into the Dark Knight and trying to compare it to Adam West or George Reeves to Man of Steel. It's like apples and oranges at this point. Same characters, yes, but they're so in opposite ends of the spectrum, it's not even worth it anymore. And so, but we always kind of tolerated Daredevil. The film, we always kind of tolerated Daredevil the film because that was all we had.
Sure.
Apart from that, maybe that Spider-Man cartoon or anything like that. And so, but then this movie came, when this show came out, I was like, I don't, what, all those other things?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. So Foggy was great. Karen Page actually gets a big part, which I know you're not as big of a Daredevil fan as I am. So
no, I'm not. I pretty quickly caught on to what we were seeing.
And
I pretty quickly knew what I was seeing, who she was and what she was supposed to be.
Well, and I think that's the beauty of the show. Whereas you go, I have a peripheral understanding of who Daredevil is.
Yeah, exactly.
Marvel Universe, blind.
Right.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the show is smart too, because they know people binge watch because it's all 13.
Yes.
They reveal things slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Like five episodes in, you still don't know how this blind man is running around.
It's true.
Doing stuff.
And it wasn't until really episode 10 or something that he had the conversation with Foggy where he's like, here's how my powers work.
Right.
Because before that, it was just like you had this idea and
you see the, like, I see everything in fire and type thing, and you see it for a second.
But it wasn't like explicitly like the accident gave me heightened senses. Like,
right.
If you don't know that already, that could be a little bit confusing for some people.
Yeah.
I saw people tweeting about it. Like, I don't get it. I'm 7 episodes in and I don't really understand how this blind man can see.
Can do these things.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, but they know, but 7 episodes in, people are intrigued enough to be like,
yes,
how can you do these things?
Yes.
And even I think maybe the show downplays it a little bit. Like, to me, it doesn't, in some ways, I thought that he felt a little helpless still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember watching Trial of the Incredible Hulk when I was a kid, and there's a scene in which Daredevil wakes up. Like, Matt Murdock wakes up and he gets out of bed and he's like running around his house, changing and showering and doing his money and putting his clothes on. And he like jumps down the flight of stairs and then he picks up his walking cane and starts to act like a blind guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I felt like in this, he always acted a little blind.
Yes, he did. Yes,
and
he did.
So it really does beg the question, like, how, like, is he hindered? Is he better? Is he not? Because Foggy asks him, like, are you in fact blind?
Yeah. Is that even true?
Is that even true? And he says, yes, I am, which is true. But I don't know. The show leaves it ambiguous enough that I don't – maybe a little too ambiguous.
A little bit. I think it was hard to – unless you are already familiar with Daredevil to some extent, it might be hard to understand. I think people were still watching, like you said. Like, it was intriguing enough that people stuck with it.
Right.
Until it was, like, fully explained. But I definitely think it might be a little more geared towards people who are already fans.
I think
or,
so.
Or at least have some knowledge of the character. Otherwise, it is a little confusing.
Who is this guy? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought they handled the origin, like the accident that blinds him, very faithfully.
I agree. It was actually almost a little upsetting.
You were expecting it to be different.
No, I was upset for his father.
That way.
Yeah,
oh,
it was like, oh, this kid is like hurt.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's actually almost like, it was like that first episode of Gotham where you always see, spoiler alerts for Batman, in case you don't know anything about Batman. It was almost like you've seen Bruce's parents get shot a bunch of different times in a bunch of different ways. It's the first time I've ever seen the kid scream before.
That's true.
First time. And then to be with him just a little bit in the app, like that's a lot of that was new territory. Like mm-hmm. the police showing up with him in the alley and Alfred seeing him for the first time. And like, mm-hmm. that's all mm-hmm. new territory. Mm-hmm. And at least in a live action setting.
Yep.
And that was upsetting. And that was the same with, that was the same with Daredevil and his powers. The mm-hmm. only other live action version was the movie in which he kind of passes out. You yep. know? But this is like, his dad's the last thing that he sees.
Yeah. You,
like literally see his sight go away.
Yeah.
It's upsetting.
Yeah. You watch
it's
it fade
actually
away.
Upsetting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, that kind of sets the tone for the whole show where they don't pull any punches, like literally and figuratively, like they don't.
It's brutal.
It's brutal. It's violent. It's really real. It's like the horror movie of the Marvel universe. Like it's
yeah.
very like, there is blood. There is like
that's
pretty
true.
Extreme violence. There's like it's pretty real. It's all pretty like pretty gruesome in a lot of ways. I would not let like a kid watch this. You know?
Never. I would never let a kid watch this show. No, no, no. Which would if I was 10
mm-hmm.
and I knew there was a Daredevil show coming yeah. on, I would be
you'd
so
want to,
mad.
But if I was your kid, your but parent, I wouldn't.
If
I wouldn't
my kid. No. I'd be happy about that. Yeah. kids. Like, happy I'm a dad. Like, yay.
Yay fatherhood.
Yay. So it sounded like we were hungry more than anything.
So I wouldn't let a kid watch this show because right. it's just too violent.
No, it's very I mean, he's dripping blood, he's losing this, he stabs a guy in his eye, basically. Yeah.
He sets a guy on fire.
Yeah.
He gets beaten up God knows how many times.
Well, the show raises interesting questions about the use of torture for information.
Oh, yes.
Because
yes.
this is a world in which you have established that it is okay to torture people in the event of saving somebody's life.
Yes.
This is a very post 9/11 mm-hmm. show, mm-hmm. but almost like early 9/11. Because now we've backed away from that a bit. And
yes.
we're like, that's really not okay.
Yeah.
But
like immediately after 9/11, that was,
but they're living, right.
that was a big debate they were having as a nation.
Right. Exactly. But their 9/11 is the Chitauri attack.
That's right.
And so
that's right. And they make reference to it a couple times.
So they kind of are living in a post 9/11 world.
That's very
and so
true.
You,
yeah.
with that mindset, you are sympathizing with this man who's like, I need to save people's lives and I need to save them now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time. I don't have time to play with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. The Chitauri attack is if that's not ringing a bell, that's the attack that happens at the end of the Avengers,
right?
The movie. So this ties in with that. And that attack is the event that's like the catalyst for this for the events of this show. It's interesting to me because I always knew of the Hell's Kitchen of Daredevil,
right,
as this as the Hell's Kitchen of like the 60s and 70s in reality, which is when, you know, when this stuff was being
when Daredevil was made.
Right.
Right.
But for decades after that, it kind of that Hell's Kitchen was kind of frozen in, you know,
frozen
carbonite,
in time. Yeah.
Ooh, nice. As being like, it's still the way it was then. It's just like, you know, dark and dirty and there's gangsters and there's a big immigrant population and all this stuff, where in this show, there is some of that, obviously, I mean, Wilson Fisk, but it's Wilson Fisk feels obligated to save his city and then this part of the city
basically wants to turn what Hell's Kitchen was then into what it is now.
Yeah, basically
wants into Chelsea.
More yeah. of a more gentrified and you know, he this horrible disaster befell them and he's trying to save everyone and rebuild.
Right.
And that's why everyone is so willing to embrace him as their savior, I think, because they just had this horrible catastrophe and right. they're looking for someone to, you know, take them, bring them out of it.
Right. And the show does an excellent job, and we'll hop on Wilson Fisk as since it's right here. The show does a good job at making you almost root for him.
Mm.
Like, he is oddly likable.
Yeah.
Not in the same way, certainly not in the same way that Matt Murdock is, not in the same way that Foggy is or Karen or anybody like that. But the show does a good job at presenting Wilson Fisk in a way that you'd be like, well, you're not doing the greatest things. You did take off a guy's head with your door.
Yep.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
And terrible.
And yeah.
And terrifying. You know, when you're like threatening people and bribing people and all that, like obviously the racketeering, which this show really did teach me about what racketeering is.
It's true.
Because according to Jack Donaghy, nobody knows what racketeering is.
Like, let me ask you, I thought about this when at the end of the series when they charged him with racketeering, you're arrested for racketeering. I was like, here's something I never thought that never came to me before. If the act is called racketeering and the person who does it is called a racketeer, shouldn't it just be called racketing?
Yes. Yes, it should be. Well, we screwed that up.
Way to go, English.
Way to go, English. All right. Yeah, well, can you say that? Well, I was thinking about that the other day. I think I was getting ready for work, and I was thinking about words that we don't actually pronounce the way they're spelled. Like, okay. Private is not... It should be private.
That's true.
Yeah. Private. Get back in line.
Yeah.
And you're like, nope, that's private.
Well, in England, they do say privacy.
They do say privacy.
They say privacy.
Yeah. They also say aluminium.
That's not even how the word is spelled.
That's not how it's spelled. So you can't always trust the British.
That's true.
Moral of the story. Yeah. America. can't always trust the British. I just want to be British so bad. I love our founding fathers in our country, but I kind of still want to be British.
Well, most of them are British, so.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. I'm not. I really just want the accent, actually. Don't necessarily need anything else.
Maybe this is a good place to take a break, and we'll come back next week with the rest of our Daredevil discussion. Right. Tune in next week when you might hear.
Maybe I'll finish my thought about Wilson Fisk because I haven't really
cliffhanger.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys can hear us on iTunes, Beer with Geeks, Stitcher Radio, Beer with Geeks, BeerWithGeeks.com, BeerWithGeeks@gmail.com, all that fun stuff. Come back next week to hear the rest of
Tim's rant about the British
rant and how much he loves the British.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.